Daniel chapter number 3, we're going to start reading verse number 1, Daniel chapter 3. The Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set up it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews, whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let's pray this morning. Father, I do thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity that you give us to come to church this morning. Thank you for a beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you for the safety that you give everyone here and the safety of the buses. Father, thank you for all that you allow us to get done this weekend here at the church property. And thank you for that and just the servants' hearts of the people. And Lord, I praise you for that. Lord, help us this morning as we look at this passage and then several other places in our Bibles, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would just determine in our hearts to walk uprightly. And God, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I pray that you guide my thoughts, guide my words this morning. Lord, I'm not worthy to stand here, but Lord, I pray that you would just fill me with your power this morning. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I love this story. This is a very famous, obviously a famous story. You hear about it in Sunday school and et cetera. I want to point out a few things this morning. So this morning, we're going to talk about walking uprightly. And the word upright necessarily isn't mentioned in this passage, but I think this story is a good representation of being upright. And you said, Brother Chad, what's the definition of upright? You could get, you know, real spiritual and everything. And there is, you know, I mean, you want, it means to walk righteously without iniquity is the word upright, okay? But in, I don't know, I'm not a scholar, okay? So when I hear the word upright, my mind just goes to the most common, you know, definition. And that is what I'm right now. I'm upright, okay? Now, you all are sitting, but you're sitting upright, okay? And so that's my, that's the breadth and depth of my understanding, generally. But upright. And this story is interesting because something happens in this story that defines two different groups of people, okay? And there is a group that very literally fall down on their faces. And then there's three that remain upright, okay? In a very literal sense, but not just in a literal sense, also in a deeper sense, they remain upright in their beliefs and in their standards, okay? And we're going to look at this morning. I want you to go down to verse number four. We all know the story. The king made this image of gold, a large image, and it's in self-worship, basically. The king had set up. That phrase is repeated over and over and over again in this passage. The king had set up. The king had set up. The king had set up. This was done in self-worship, basically. He wanted everybody to acknowledge him, to worship him. And verse number four, and I'm just going to, this is a side note, and I thought about teaching this maybe the last 2 weeks that I'm here. Verse number four, then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded. And then there's three things here. I want you to notice this. O people, nations, and languages. Okay, so there's three different things, but it covers a large group of people. So it's got people. So I would think in people, I'm thinking people and nations, I'm thinking of maybe different races, okay? Different skin colors, perhaps even, okay? But it encompasses all of these groups of people, all right? Men, women, whatever, that is all encompassed here. And then the next thing is languages. Now, this is interesting, and this is why I was thinking about, this is a complete side note from what we're talking about this morning, but languages. And you think about in that time, because Nebuchadnezzar ruled pretty much then what they knew as the world, you know, that was their world, okay, at that time. So there was many different languages. So when they said that, all right, everyone needs to fall down, you couldn't have necessarily, you know, let's say they had 20 languages. I'm just going to use that number, 20 different languages. And he's bringing people from all over the known world to this ceremony. And they said, well, you've got 20 different people up here, right? That all are speaking the same thing. And they could all say, all right, everyone needs to just bow down right now. All right? But that would be extremely confusing because how would you understand what this guy, you would have to be listening for that person. It was an organizational nightmare, basically. However, by using music, and here's the thought I want to give you. By using music, you know, music is a universal language. Okay? Music can be used to speak to anybody of any language. Because music isn't just the words that you hear, all right? And I'm not a music person, all right? I'm going to be the first to admit that. I can't play Mary Had a Little Lamb on the piano. I have no idea where to start. I couldn't tell you where middle C is. Dead serious, okay? But music is a universal language. So all they had to do was, okay, for instance, we went to the Navajo reservation. And you know what? I can't speak a lick of Navajo, okay? I can speak a little Spanish or Mexican. I mean, and that's basically the, you know, enchilada, taco, you know, those things. Taco Bell, where's Taco Bell? That's about the extent of it. I'm sorry, I should know more, but I don't. I don't know any more than that. Miguel, I don't. That's. But there are, when they sang Amazing Grace, I didn't know any of the words that they were saying, but I knew exactly what they were saying. Okay. Why? Because the music was universal, okay? It was a universal thing. music is very, very powerful, a powerful thing. And listen, and this is what I'm thinking about teaching about, whatever the Lord wants me to, but music, folks, isn't, you know, the whole contemporary Christian music segment, you know, well, we've got good words to our music. Listen, it's not just about the words. It's about the music itself. Okay, and Brother Bud could tell you that, and many people in here that are more knowledgeable in that than I am could tell you that. But this music was used as a signal for everyone to fall down. Now, I've heard of this being done, and I wouldn't do it necessarily here. But a teacher has gone into classes before, and he tells everyone, and I'm going to give you a simple answer, you know, 7 times 6, okay? Now, everyone knows what 7 times 6 is, right? Okay? So he says 7 times 6, and then he tells everyone except for maybe 1 or 2 students in the class, you need to, when I ask the answer to 7 times 6, I want everyone to tell me that it's 54, okay? And so when the teacher comes in, all but 2 students know this. This they've got set up. So the teacher comes in, what's 7 times 6? Well, it's 54. And all the, you know, you've got 2 students out of a class of, let's say, 100 that know that that's not the answer. But they look at everyone else that says, oh, it's 54. And you know what? They've studied this, and this happens. Those students that are in the minority like that, many times, even though they know the answer is not correct, will bow to that peer pressure and say, oh, yeah, it's got to be, you know, my mind, you know, I just drew a blank, even though it's not true. I want you to think about these 3 young men. And everyone's standing, because if you're going to bow down, you must be in an upright position to start with. So everyone's standing, and all of a sudden, as music starts, and everybody, because this is the signal, this is what they're supposed to do, everyone bows down, except for 3. Now, I want you to think about that feeling, all right? If you've ever been kind of by yourself, right, in something, that feeling, okay? And I think some of you, you know, after last year, you kind of know that feeling. Me and my wife went for the couples retreat. We went to Bloomington and got some Chipotle. And, of course, Bloomington's a college town, right? And so we go into Chipotle, and it's like we were the scum of the earth, okay? And I'm not necessarily talking, I'm not going to talk about that this morning. I'm not talking about, you know, a pastor's done an excellent job about the, and I'm looking forward to what he's bringing about the spirit of Antichrist. But it's not just in that regard and in those things that are coming, but it's a matter of walking uprightly all the time. And like I said, walking uprightly, I'm not just talking about, you know, being correct in what you're doing, being righteous in what you're doing, but also just the simple, I want you in there, your mind, I want you to have this mental picture of these 3 young men when everybody just, the music starts and everybody's, and there's 3 young men standing there, okay? And that feeling that they had. To walk uprightly is to walk righteously. To walk uprightly is to walk without iniquity. Go, and we're going to use our, I've got a lot of Bible this morning, so, but it's all like in Job, Psalms, Proverbs, all right? So I'll keep you pretty close. Let's go to Job chapter number 1. Job chapter number 1. I believe walking uprightly is to fear God and hate evil. Now, a lot of people say that, Brother Chad, you know, by going to Blessed Hope Baptist Church or going to any good independent fundamental Baptist church, they've got so many, you know, they've got so many rules and restrictions and things that you have to abide by. All right? And I'm just going to make, I'm basically making this argument. You will abide by somebody's rules. You just have to choose whose. Okay? You know, well, they got dress standards there. So does the world. Why else do they dress the way they do except because they're trying to fit in with a certain group? Okay? You know, I feel for these young people that come in. And sometimes, you know, they do weird things. But you know who? They're just trying to fit in with the culture of today. Okay? Now, listen, I fit it, you know, and I said this not too long ago. A lot of reason people wear what they wear, you know, you wear what you wear a lot of times is because you want to fit in with the group, okay? You want to be, everyone wants to be a part of something, all right? And that's just human nature, I believe. Job chapter number 1, look at verse number 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Look at that at verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? What is walking uprightly? I believe walking uprightly is to fear God. It's not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they stood upright, when they stayed upright in their, not just in their stature, but also in their belief, because their belief is what led to their stature, okay? But they stayed upright because, not because they, it was because they feared God more than they feared Nebuchadnezzar, okay? And they knew that. Go to Psalms chapter number 15. Psalms chapter number 15. This morning, I said, we're going to go through a lot of, but we probably won't go through everything I've got, but Psalms chapter 15, verse number 1, Bible says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. And then verse 3 through 5, it has some other things, a definition of those that walk uprightly. Go to flip over a couple pages, Psalms chapter 18. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, with an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. Go to the next chapter, Psalms 19, look at verse number 12. Who can understand his errors? Look at this statement. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Walking uprightly, go to Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter, Brother Chad, what is walking uprightly? I believe it's you hating evil. You're fearing God. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 6. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Proverbs chapter number 13. Look at verse number 6. Proverbs 13, verse 6. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. You say, but Brother Chad, that doesn't make sense. Because that didn't come out well for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay? They decided that they were going to stand upright. But because of that, what happened to them? They were bound and thrown into a burning fiery furnace. Okay? Well, that didn't work out well for them. And if you notice what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, King Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm paraphrasing here, we're going to be delivered out of your hand today. And you know what they were saying? All right. Whether in life or in death, either God's going to save us out of this or God's going to take us home today. But one way or the other, we're being delivered from your hand today. Okay? But you say, Brother Chad, they got bound and they got thrown into a burning fiery furnace. And all those other people, they bowed down and nothing happened to them. Okay? Now, here's the thing. But you realize that I'm getting ahead of myself. All right. And it's next, so I'm getting close. All right. Walking uprightly is walking in freedom. Walking uprightly is walking in freedom. Whether it brings a foreseen bondage, it's still walking in freedom. You realize of all of those hundreds or thousands of people there that day, yeah, there was three of them that got tied up. But you know that thousands of them were tied up inside? They were the ones that were in bondage. They were the ones that they felt like they had to fall down to worship that. And three of them said, we don't need to do that. I have freedom here to stand here. I know I'm in the right by doing this. You know, there's a great peace in knowing that what you're doing is right, even though everyone else doesn't think that it may be right. Okay? That's freedom. Okay? That's freedom. You look at all these other countries, and I know this is actually, I taught this four years ago for our teens. Okay? So this is, I'm not doing this as a tail end of 2020, although it's very applicable in that regard. By walking uprightly, you do have freedom. Okay? I'm not bound by the chains. Listen, because sin does bring chains. All right? Sin brings chains. There's a verse in Proverbs, and we'll probably get there. I probably have it in here somewhere. Verse in Proverbs, he shall be holden with the cords of his sins or iniquities. I can't remember which one. All right? You know what sin does? It binds people. Okay? Sin is binding. Walking upright is walking in freedom. I'm going to flip back here. Leviticus chapter number 26. I'll read this real quick to you. Leviticus chapter 26, verse number 13. The Bible says, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. Made you go upright. Now listen. You think about even the fact of walking uprightly. Have you ever tried to walk not standing upright? Every once in a while, I'll see an elderly person, maybe at the nursing home or in the store, and because of some health condition or something, they're stooped like this, and they have to pick their head up to be able to see where they're going. And I am blessed that I can walk standing straight up. All right? Have you ever, for instance, the attic up here. All right? Most of you have probably, men have probably been up there at some point. There's 4 foot, 3 foot maybe up here. Okay? Between here and there. Well, if you have to go from the entrance here or the entrance back there across the attic, I was up there the last week. All right? You know what you have to do? You're walking like this. All right? Now, can you do it? Yes. Is it comfortable? No. Usually I scratch my back. Half the time I'm hitting my back on the trusses and everything like that. It's not a comfortable thing. It's much easier to walk standing upright. And you think, well, it's easier. No. God created us, in our evolution. You watch the little monkey, evolve. That's so stupid. But God created, we walking upright is walking in freedom. You don't walk uprightly bent over, and that's freedom. Okay? Try running like that. Good luck with that. Okay? So walking uprightly is walking in freedom. When the world tries to bind us, God has a way of taking those bondages and freeing us. Go to Proverbs chapter number 5. You're probably in Proverbs now. Proverbs chapter number 5. Yep, this is the verse I was looking for. It's talking about a man that goes, and verse 20 says, why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. You're held captive by those sins. Okay? You're not allowed to operate in freedom. You know, I challenge our young people when we go on soul winning. You know, you need to have a clean account with God. You say, well, why? Because if you don't have a clean account with God, you are held captive with the cords of your sin. You cannot be an effect. You know, if I'm tied up, I cannot effectively do much of anything. Okay? And that's what it is. Galatians chapter number 5. We're going to the New Testament just a little bit. Galatians chapter number 5. I told you he's going to use your Bibles this morning. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse number 22. And we're just going to read this one verse, but I think most of you know what is before this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But then if you go up three verses prior to that, you know what it talks about? All these things that hold you captive. All right? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. You know what an addiction is? An addiction is just you being held captive. That's what an addiction is, okay? You're held captive. Everything that you do is influenced by that. You know, it's like carrying around, you know, the old time pictures where you see a guy with a ball and chain. And you're carrying that around. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. That's walking uprightly, okay? But sin holds us in captivity. And we go to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 6, John chapter 8. Let's go to John. I do want to show you that one. John chapter number 8. John 8, verse 32. John chapter 8, verse 32. Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. Yeah, you can say, well, Brother Chad, you're just bound by the beliefs of that church. No, listen, it's not the beliefs of this church. It's this that guides me, okay? It's not Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, I'm thankful, don't get me wrong, I am thankful I'm at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. There is no other place in this area that I'd rather be, okay? I'm so thankful that God put me here. But listen, it's this that guides me. It's this, okay? And that's what sets me free. So walking uprightly is walking in freedom. You can't walk uprightly and walk in bondage. And, you know, if you're going to be a good testimony to your coworkers, you're going to be a good testimony to your neighbors, you have to walk uprightly. Well, if I'm just like them, being like somebody never changes that person. Okay? You have to be different in order to change them. I was talking to a local police officer Friday. And he was telling me about the cussing preacher. That's what he called him. Oh yeah, that's that cussing preacher. And he told me the story and I was like, you got to be kidding me. Yeah, he's been arrested a couple times for anger issues and stuff like that. What? Yeah, that's a good way to reach people. You know, cuss them out when you get mad at them. Okay? Listen, that's not walking uprightly. Okay? Walking uprightly is walking blameless before the world. Now listen, folks. I shouldn't ever make people not like... I will make people not like me because of my position. Because that's walking uprightly. All right? You know those people that were beside Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why did those princes of the Chaldeans come to Nebuchadnezzar and rat them out? Because they were convicted by them guys that wouldn't bow. Okay? Now, they may not like me, but it should never be because of my disposition. Okay? It's all right to have a position, but my disposition ought to be, you know, anyway. Walking uprightly is walking blameless before the world. I've got this reference you can look at later. 1 Samuel chapter 29, 6. You know what Samuel told the children of Israel? He's like, have I ever taken anything from you? Have I ever stolen anything from you? I've always walked uprightly. And that's the basically what that verse tells us. Walking uprightly, and this, I've got a lot of verses for this, but we won't, I'll just maybe give you the references. Walking uprightly gets the recognition of God. Now, isn't it something that as a Christian that we want, when we stand before God, for Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? I mean, isn't that kind of the, you know, the end thing that we're all striving for? Okay? Walking uprightly does get that recognition. What did God say to Satan? Hast thou considered my servant Job, who is perfect and upright? Now, I'm not saying he was perfect, all right? I'm not saying he was sinless. I don't believe that's what the Bible teaches there. But he was a mature Christian, and he walked uprightly. I was kind of wondering, why was Job, you know, I think, did Job's sons and daughters do everything right? No. I mean, the Bible says they were basically having parties. Went house to house to house having parties. And I don't know what they did, but Job thought it was important enough that he would get up every morning and pray for his children and try to make amends there with God. Okay? But Job walked uprightly. He had the recognition of God. So let's go to Psalms. I think you're still in Proverbs area, maybe. Psalms chapter number 7. We're not going to get all this done. I've got two pages of references. Psalms chapter number 7. Look at verse number 10. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. Chapter number 11, verse 7. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Chapter 33, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Psalms 36, 10. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. And I've got 10 others. Okay? You know what God does? God says, hey, I noticed that guy. In thousands of people that are laying on their faces worshiping an image, don't you think it would be noticeable when three guys are still standing? Yeah. And you know, and this brings us to our second thing. Walking uprightly often brings ridicule. You know, the world honestly just wants you to be like them. They're afraid of anybody that's different, okay? Why do they want you to dress like them? Because it makes them feel uncomfortable, quite honestly, okay? Why do they want you to be like them? Psalms chapter 11, verse 2, the Bible says, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Psalms chapter number 37, verse number 14. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. So the wicked, the world wants you to be like them. It will bring ridicule. It's not easy, okay, to stand upright when everyone else is falling down. Walking uprightly means that you are not falling down. Listen, folks, we're going to stick out. And I think it's in our society, as our society has shifted from a Christian nation to an anti-Christ nation, those that stand for Christ are going to stick out. It's coming, okay? And Pastor's been emphasizing that. And I've got several verses for that. Man that walks uprightly refuses to fall down to be like the wicked. It shows them the error of their ways. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. And when you bring a light in, it shows up everything, okay? Walking uprightly is a high road. And I just can't get all the references. Psalms 49, 14, Proverbs 10, 29, Proverbs 11, 11. Walking uprightly should affect our decision-making, all right? My decisions should be affected by the fact of whether I walk uprightly. Not the fact of, is everyone else falling down, but what is the right thing to do, okay? I just got to do what's right, no matter what. Go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. I want to show you this one. Oops. Proverbs chapter 10. Walking uprightly brings confidence. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 9. The Bible says, he that walketh uprightly walketh what? Surely. But he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Listen, it does take guts to walk uprightly. I ain't gonna lie. But when you're confronted with a situation where the world, everyone in the world says, do this, do this, do this, you have to have the courage to stand upright and to do what God has asked you to do. Okay? And it doesn't matter what the world says at that point. But you know, in that brings confidence. I'm not bound by the opinions of the world. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to make enemies out of them, right? But I'm not bound by their opinions. Okay? And like there goes back to that freedom. It brings great freedom. When you know that you're in the right and you just keep going, there's a freedom in that. It brings confidence. And this is kind of an extra one, but walking uprightly is speaking correctly. And many times it's not just by the things that you do, but it's by the things that we say. All right? People listen to what we say. Okay? Merchad, why is it important that we walk uprightly? If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have fallen down with everyone else, the rest of Daniel chapter 4 or 3, the end of Daniel chapter 3, when Nebuchadnezzar gave glory to God, never would have happened. Okay? Listen, folks, it's important. And, you know, everyone has to decide for yourself in your life. Now, listen, we all have this that governs. But every one of us is presented with different situations where we either fall down or we stand up and we walk uprightly. All right? Remember, it's no fun walking over in a hunched over position. All right? Stand up. Be courageous for God. And God notices, and God will reward you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, quickly went through all this. Lord, a lot of Bible. Lord, I believe that you want your people to be that shining light. We don't want to hide our light under a bushel. We need to be a light that shines, a light that is something that you would recognize, that you would be proud of. Lord, a well-pleasing, I guess, would be the proper term. Well-pleasing in your sight. And Lord, I pray that I would be better at that. Lord, many times it seems like we're swayed by the opinions of people that honestly, in comparison to your word and you, don't matter. And Lord, I pray that we would live our lives in our conduct, in our beliefs, and the way we stand to walk uprightly, to be upright, to make a difference. And Lord, thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.